Proverbs chapter 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs it up. Well, I think of when Gideon won a great victory and then some of the Israelites came and complained, why didn't you ask us to go and fight with you? You're a bad person, rah, rah, rah. And he just says, oh, well, you're much stronger than me. Who am I? I'm just nothing. And so their anger, it says, abated. And this is so true, that when someone's mad and crazy and cranky and says something horrible, if you reply in the same way, you just make a great big argument. But a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh one stirs it up. When the wise speak, they make knowledge attractive, but the fool speaks only nonsense. So we're not just giving sort of abstract theory and theoretical ideas. We are making true knowledge attractive. Yahweh sees everything that happens. He watches all our behavior, whether it is good or evil. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. So there's so much power in words. And the book of Job is all about that. That there's poor Job suffering like he was, and his friends come with these words that just crush him into little pieces. And this is why death and life, we're told, is in the power of the tongue. And it's why Jesus says that by our words we'll be justified and by our words we'll be condemned. So you may think you have no power to do anything. I don't have money, I don't have this, don't have that. But you have your words, whether they are spoken words or words on the internet in communication, and you can do a lot of good and a lot of harm with your words. So you have more power than you ever thought. The fool ignores the teaching of his father, but the wise accept his correction. How many times do we read in Proverbs about how the wise accept correction? And yet it's something that we, by nature almost, really struggle with. We don't want to accept correction. I want to be right. Knowledge is spread by the wise, but fools do not do so. So this is the basis of our preaching, our evangelism, that we want to share that which God has given us. And that is part of his wisdom, because if you just learn all these wonderful things from the Bible and keep it to yourself, you won't really grasp its real power and nature until you actually come to tell it to other people and until you apply it in their lives or see them applying it in their lives. Yahweh is pleased with the prayers of the righteous, but he hates the sacrifices of the wicked. It's as if prayer is a sacrifice. And for God, a prayer is much more than an animal that's been killed. So there's got to be a real effort made in prayer. That's the idea, just as you make an effort to bring a sacrifice. And that means we shouldn't just pray at the end of the day, cuddled up in bed, when we're just falling asleep and we give a few thoughts to God. Prayer has got to be particularly, I think, in the morning, or at least when we're awake and can give our mind to God. The Lord hates the ways of the evil people, but he loves those who do what is right. If you do what is wrong, you will be severely punished. And those who refuse correction will die. And I think the idea is they will die forever, because we all die. But he's talking about the day of judgment. So then God is watching everything. And there really will be a judgment of how we have behaved in this life. That is why, in figurative language, I suppose, we read that the books will be opened. So God is keeping a record. And somehow the final judgment will factor in every moment of our lives. The proud hate correction. They refuse to ask for advice from the wise. And this is again the same old theme, that pride does not want to be corrected. And so the line that divides people, I think, is between those who realize their weakness, who realize their need for correction, and those who are so proud that they do not think that they need to change. The wise want to learn, but the fool is satisfied with ignorance. Well, that says the same thing, doesn't it? That the wise want to be corrected, they want to grow. The life of the poor person is a constant struggle, but the joyful always enjoy life. Well, I think he's saying that you can be poor but happy and enjoy your life. Some poor people, for them, their life is a constant struggle, with debts to pay and problems to resolve that they can't because they haven't got money or whatever. But when he says, but the joyful people can enjoy life, I don't think he means that, well, the rich people are okay, so they have a nice life. I think he's saying that poor people can still be happy and enjoy life despite the struggle. But you can only do that, of course, if you're with God and living his way. It's better to be poor and to fear the Lord than to be rich and to be in trouble with the Lord. It's better to eat vegetables with people you love than to eat the very best expensive meat where there's hatred. Hot temper causes arguments, but peace comes from a patient spirit. So, we must control our tempers. Otherwise, this is what leads to strife and the breakup of relationships, families, etc. The lazy find problems everywhere, but the honest do not have trouble. So then, laziness is connected, I think, with dishonesty. I think that's what he's saying. Because the lazy, by all means, will seek to avoid doing things, and therefore they will lie and be dishonest. A wise son gives joy to his father, but a fool despises his mother. The fools are happy with their foolishness, but the wise do what is right. Receive all the correction that you can, and you will succeed, and without it, you will fail. So we should be eager to be corrected. Now that is an example of where the way of God and the way of wisdom is directly against our natural way. The wise walk in the way that leads upwards to life and refuse the road that leads downwards to death. So there are only two paths in Proverbs, the road to death and the road to life. Like there's the two women, the woman called wisdom and the woman who is the fool, the foolish woman. And so there's only two roads. There's no third way. You can't be on one road for 1 minute and the other road for another minute. We've got to decide with all our heart to follow the way of wisdom. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will build up the widow's property. The Lord hates the thoughts of evil, but is pleased with good words. So God sees not only everything that's done, but he hears every word that's said, and he sees every thought, and he has feelings about this. Now you might think, well, there's so many people on earth who are having thoughts all the time. How can God possibly know all of them? Well, he does. This is the thing. His power to know everything, his omniscience, is amazing. Good people think before they answer, but the wicked reply quickly and it causes trouble. The Lord listens to the prayer of the righteous, but he ignores those who are evil. The wise pay attention when they are corrected, but if you refuse to learn, you damage only yourself. If you accept correction, you become wiser. You must be humble before you can be lifted up. So it keeps on repeating the same point about receiving correction. I think it'll be good for us all to ask ourselves, when was the last time when I received correction? When I actually was made to realize that something I'd done was wrong and I stopped doing it? Because this actually should be our daily experience as we grow spiritually from God's word and from mixing with godly people.